In John chapter 21, I'm going to be in chapter 5, don't worry, but in John chapter 21, verse 25, the last verse in the book of John, there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Then in verse number 30 of chapter 20, the Bible said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Could you imagine, just take that verse right there, imagine getting to heaven, Brother Anthony, and getting to sit down with the disciples and hear all those stories that would have filled up all the books that the whole world couldn't even contain them. It's going to be wonderful, isn't it? Amen. The Word of God said, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I believe, and I've been trying to teach us, that that's speaking of salvation, of the new birth. Person never going to be born again without believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, receiving him. He said in John 1, he came into his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then the Bible uses the phrase, and that believing you might have life through his name. I believe God wants us not only to have life eternal, but I believe God wants us to have life abundant. Jesus said, the thief come not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I told you the wrong chapter. It's John chapter 6, by the way. John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. The Word of God said in verse number 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. I want to ask you a question real quickly, somebody. I just want to see if anybody's paying attention. Why did God put this story in the Bible? Why did he put it in the Bible?
That we might believe.
That we might believe. That's exactly right. Increase our faith. If somebody's here not saved, that you might see there's one that can not only give you physical bread, but praise God, he can give you the bread of life. If there's somebody here that is saved, maybe you're down pretty low. I've been there myself. That you'd understand that one of the things that's written here that's been sticking out to me, I've been discussing a little bit with Miss Eve coming across the road, is Jesus already knew what he would do. I like that. Let's get on with it. The Bible said, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which were done on them that were diseased. By the way, that previous chapter where he was having so much trouble with the Pharisees, that's one of the things that they didn't like. Jesus had a great multitude following him. The Bible said, Jesus went up into a mountain and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and he saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. I love that. Let me just stop a minute and give you a couple of things that's rolling through my mind. Adam and Eve didn't know what they was going to do after they sinned, but God knew what he was going to do. Moses and the children of Israel, they didn't know what they was going to do when they was backed up again the Red Sea, but God knew what he was going to do. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down to that idol of gold, and they didn't know what they was going to do, but I tell you what, God knew what he was going to do. In other words, they knew they weren't going to bow to the image of gold, but they told the king, you know, we're not going to bow. He's able to deliver us, but if he don't, throw us in the furnace. We're not going to bow. Amen. But God knew what he would do. Daniel in the den of lions, he didn't know what God was going to do. And the king didn't know what God was going to do. But the king of kings knew exactly what he was going to do. He's going to cause a bunch of lions to get lockjaw, amen, where they couldn't hurt the man of God. Listen tonight. Somewhere along the way, you and I are going to come to a place in our life where we don't know what he's going to do. But I want you to know when we get there, he already knows what he's going to do. Amen. He already knows what he's going to do.
That blesses my heart tonight. You think about that. Amen. Think about that. I mean, David, he went out there in the valley with Goliath. He knew God had already delivered him from a lion, and God had already delivered him from a bear. But I want you to know something. David's brother didn't know what God was going to do. Eliab didn't have any idea what God was going to do. Amen. Who was the king then? It was Saul, wasn't it? Saul didn't know. He said, you're but a youth. You're just a runt. You can't go out there and do that. And then Saul tried to put his armor on him. Saul didn't know what God's going to do. But I'm going to tell you what, God saw that rock. Amen. Saw that it hit just right. Caused that giant to fall down. I just want you to know tonight, that's just a little tidbit. Amen. That God knows what. Before we ever get there, God's already there. He knows what he's going to do. And I appreciate that tonight. That you might believe. Watch this. The Bible said here, and Philip answered him, said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Does anybody here tonight know what the number 200 represents in the Bible in numerology? I didn't until today. I thought maybe there'd be 15 hands go up. Amen. I'll tell you after a while what it means when we get to it. Amen. One of his disciples, that'll keep some of you awake. Amen. I'm just kidding. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number above 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, what's that word say? Filled. How many believe they were filled? You know, if I go to some, Brother Gary knows me, I like fish. If I go where it's an all-you-can-eat fish, I leave sick. Say amen. I eat one piece too many, I guarantee it, amen. I want to try to get my money's worth. If it's all you can eat for the same price, amen. The Bible said they were filled, and he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea. That's as far as we're going to read tonight. Pray with me for a moment. Father, I need your help. Lord, blessing. If it comes tonight, it'll come from thee. God, we need you to bless us tonight, that we might be a blessing to our dear people. Feed us, our Father, tonight. May we sit at your table for just a little while, Lord, and enjoy the good bread of life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I broke a message down tonight that you might believe. We have the feeding of the 5,000 men. So Jesus is feeding way more than 5,000. In another one of the texts, and by the way, this is recorded in all 4 Gospels. And it always do you good to read whenever it's recorded, when the same miracle or the same story is recorded in all 4 Gospels, good to read them. And we're going to find some things from some of the other places tonight. But we find here that Jesus, here by the Sea of Galilee, he goes over and a multitude followed him. The Bible in another place said it was 5,000 men besides the women and the children. And I don't even know how to estimate it really. But if you put one woman and one child, you've got 15,000 people that Jesus is about to feed. I got to doing a little bit of math today. I meant to bring this out maybe later in the message, but I got to doing a little bit of math. I'm trying to look here in my notes where I recorded it. But in that math, there, if you took 3 feet by 3 feet,
Now, that's not very much. That's that big by that big, and you set a man down in that. And you see, a child's going to require a little less, and maybe some of the teenage boys would require a little less, but there are going to be some men that require a little more, amen? And so if you just did an average of 3 feet, and I believe that's a pretty good average, and I'll tell you why. Because in another chapter, you find out that Jesus sets them down in companies. Companies of 100 and companies of 50. Can I just say this tonight? Everything God does, he does it decently and in order. Also, in figuring that 3 feet, now I've never thought about this before. I'm just trying to give you an idea. In figuring that 3 feet, Brother Larry, those men, those disciples had to go through those people to serve them, the fish and the bread. So, I mean, they couldn't have been sitting there like sardines in the grass. In other words, they had to be able to get through those companies of 50 and companies of 100. These are things I never thought about before. But I just begin to do a little math today. So 3 feet by 3 feet. But anyway, it come out, it would probably be in the neighborhood of 3 acres. Now, 3 to 4 acres, just depending on the area that was around. My home is sitting on 2 acres. I believe, Brother Houston, is this church property about 8 acres total? Is that right, brother? So you could imagine about half of the church property back. That's if it's 15,000. If it's more than that, it's going to take a little more. If it's less than that, it's going to take a little less. And no doubt, there by the Sea of Galilee, I believe that maybe it was a hillside. In other words, it made it possible for him to hear. It made it possible for him to see. As Jesus took that little lad's lunch and thanked God for it and began to break it and bless it, and it began to multiply, and they passed it out. And I believe if you figured 15,000, Miss Eve, I'm not sure now. I forgot to write that down, but I believe that would have been about 125 people apiece for the disciples. Does that sound about right? Anyway, in other words, it's not far-fetched. 125 people. As a matter of fact, when I first came to this church, I believe, would comfortably seat about 400 people out there without people in the choir. I may be wrong about that, but I don't believe I am. I just sat on a pew. I believe it would comfortably. So you could just imagine the disciple, one disciple serving Brother John like your section. Like if your section was sitting full, that would be about what one disciple would carry out in this. So I guess what I'm trying to tell you is, in my mind, up until today, when I actually began to break it down and think about it a little bit, I thought it would be a much bigger area than what it actually was at 3 to 4 acres of ground. But I want to give you two things in the message tonight, just two. First of all, what the people saw, and the second thing I want to give you is what the Savior saw. I want to give you what the people saw, and then what the Savior saw. What the people saw was the power of God. If you look in verse number 2, the Bible said, and a great multitude followed him. Now listen to me carefully. There's something to glean right here. Because they saw his miracles, which he did on them which were diseased. You remember, he had just come from the pool of Bethesda. He had been over there at Cana of Galilee. He had talked to the woman down by the well. Words getting out on Jesus, amen, that he's healing people, and that people that have been sick all their life maybe have gotten a touch from God. But I'm going to give you something tonight. There's something for us to glean right here tonight. You and I, if we're going to walk by faith, should never get caught in the trap of following Jesus just because of what we see him do. Listen to me tonight. We ought to fall so in love with him that we want to follow him just because of who he is. He's the Savior of the world, amen? I like what one man said one time. He said, if God never did anything else in this world for me, he said, I'll praise him for all eternity, amen? And some people are just, they get caught up in, I'm going to praise him if I see him do something. You better praise him just because of who he is. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of praise because of what he's already done. Amen. Went to Calvary and gave his life for us. So there's the power of God. Now watch this. Look at Mark chapter 6 for just a moment with me. Take just a minute and turn in your Bible
I didn't print all the scriptures out, so we'll turn and look at them. In Mark chapter 6, I want to look at a verse and along about verse number 32, I believe it is. Watch this. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 32, the Bible said here, and they departed into a ship, into a desert place privately. And then verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him. Now watch this. And they ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto them. Now watch this. Here's a bunch of people going around the sea while Jesus is going across the sea. Listen, if we could get that kind of excitement, amen, to get to Jesus. I'm telling you, the Bible said they outwent him. They got there ahead of him, amen. They couldn't wait to see what he was going to do next. I like that. There was a thrill among the people. Jesus goes over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, a great multitude. They followed him. In other words, they didn't walk on water. They didn't get in ships, but they just knew he was going over yonder, and they took off. I don't know if they went both ways or if it was shorter to go one way around the lake or around the Sea of Galilee. I've been across the Sea of Galilee on that little boat, but I'm telling you, beloved, they were so intent on being where he was and hearing what he had to say and seeing what he was going to do next. They ran ahead of him. That thrilled me. Now, we see not only the power of God, that's what the people saw, but they saw the problem at hand. Look in verse number 5. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? You say, preacher, what was the problem? Well, you have to go to other stories where it's recorded to find out. Luke said it like this, the day began to wear away. Mark said it like this, the day was far spent. Matthew said it like this, when it was evening. Now, I like to let my mind wander. The older I get, in other words, I'm going to read the Bible, but I want to let my mind wander. You know, Jesus, it doesn't record here that anybody said anything, but how many knows enough about youngins to know if they're getting hungry? Say amen. There's going to be some noise in the crowd. Say amen. And Jesus is picked up on this now. That listen, they've been out there all day, and the day's just about gone. And here's 5,000 men, and that's besides the women and children. And they knew, the people saw the problem. They saw the power of God, and they saw the problem that was at hand. And then the last thing I recorded as I studied that they saw a potential king. Look in verse 14 and verse number 15. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, they said, this is of truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, what they want to do? Make him a king. He departed again into a mountain himself alone. I just want to say this tonight. Some, right here in this story, no doubt would have welcomed a king in order that they might overcome the Roman Empire and the Roman government. And they were believing Jesus was the man. Let me tell you something right now. Oh, glory to God, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I can't stand it. Jesus, listen, he knew that there was something more important than being a king here in this text. And that was, beloved, listen, not defeating the Roman Empire, but defeating Satan and defeating sin and defeating death and hell and the grave. And the only way that was ever going to be defeated was for him to go all the way to Calvary and bleed and die and raise again the third day, according to the Scripture. I don't know about you, they saw a potential king, but Jesus knew that his time, his hour, had not yet come. That's what the people saw. Let's look for a few minutes tonight at what the Savior saw. give you this tonight. First of all, he saw the hunger among the children. I want you to look at Mark chapter 6 with me for just a moment. He saw the hunger among the people, especially the children. You know, Jesus is the one that said, "Suffer ye the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Look in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 34. I think this is important. The word of God said here, "And Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people." Look at these next words, would you please? And remember them in the rest of the message tonight. "And was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." I want you to see what Jesus saw. He saw the hunger among the people. But he also, beloved, listen, had compassion on those that had a need. Sometimes I wonder tonight if we just see the people or if we see the souls of men. I wonder sometimes if we see to the point that we would be moved with compassion. I believe that, I can't remember exactly where the text is right now. I believe it might be in the book of John. Let's see. But it talks about, it might be in Matthew. Turn with me to Matthew just a minute. I believe it's in Matthew. I know where it's at on the page. At least I think I do. Matthew, let's see, chapter 9, verse 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes," now this is a different place, but again he sees a multitude of people, "he was moved with compassion on them." Listen to how similar it is. "Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples." Now listen to me tonight. Maybe you've heard me say this. But put Jesus in the prayer meeting tonight. Somebody's standing behind the podium saying, "Does anyone have a prayer request?" Put Jesus in the pew tonight. I believe his hand would go up and he would say something like this. "Pastor, if you would, would you have all the folks to help me pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into his harvest? Because the fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few." How many believe that's a prayer request of the Lord Jesus recorded right there in verse 27? "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You say, "Preacher, what are you seeing in this story about the 5,000? I'm seeing that the people saw something different than what the Lord saw. The Lord saw the hunger that was not just the hunger of the belly, but the hunger of the soul. The second thing the Lord saw was he saw the helplessness of his disciples. They could not meet the need. The working man back in that day, it was common for him to make a penny a day. And so 200 here is mentioned. 200 penny worth of bread would not be sufficient. In other words, one man's two-thirds, the better part of two-thirds of a man's wages for a year wouldn't buy enough bread to even begin. They might all have a little, let alone be filled and be satisfied. But watch this tonight. He said, watch, working penny a day, 200 number of insufficiency. That's what the 200 number means in the Bible. It means it's insufficient. I think the Bible's a wonderful book, don't you? Let me just give you this without turning to all the passages of Scripture tonight. But over there in the book of Joshua, you remember when Joshua took the Babylonian garment and he took the silver and he took the gold, there was 200 shekels of silver buried in his tent. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. That wasn't sufficient. Say amen. He was going to die because he disobeyed God. It was disobedience and direct disobedience towards God, and it was insufficient. Turn to the book of Judges just a moment tonight. Some of these I'm going to have to go back and look at the story. I've read them. I've read them several times today. But in the book of Judges, chapter 17, let's look at this for just a moment.
and verse number 1 down through verse number 6. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that thou were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spakest also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took the 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods, little g with an S, and made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became the priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. How many believes a God that you can make out of silver is insufficient? He can't hear. He can't talk. He can't help you, amen. He's a dead dog, and he can't bark, amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen tonight. It's insufficient. And so God is telling us here, I never saw any significance in the words 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient, but there it is in the Word of God. Turn to 2 Samuel for just a moment. And 2 Samuel chapter number 14. 2 Samuel chapter number 14. Listen to what the Word of God says here concerning Absalom. You remember him, David's son? The Bible said in 2 Samuel 14 and verse number 26, and when he polled his head, for it was at every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it, he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. And unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of fair countenance. And Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. There was a rift between Absalom and David, his father. You go over in verse number 6 of the next chapter. And Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. In verse number 9, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And then if you go over with me, beloved, to chapter number 18 and verse number 9. And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. He ended up, beloved, listen, he was cutting off 200 shekels, but it was insufficient to take care of the rebellion that was in his heart. He still rebelled against his father and determined that he would take his father's throne. But God had something else in mind. He was going to hang by that same woolly head, amen, under an oak tree. So there's the helplessness of his disciples. Jesus knew that. Watch this now. This is good. Jesus saw the hands that were prepared. I don't know about this, and I won't be dogmatic about it, but I don't believe Jesus was surprised at all. When it was it Philip that said, let me see here. I believe it was, it was Simon. It was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here. I don't believe that took Jesus by surprise. I don't believe he just discovered that all of a sudden. Amen. I believe that when the Bible said Jesus knew what he would do, somebody help me tonight. It could be that he had already bumped shoulders with that little boy that had 2 small fishes and 5 loaves. It could be, beloved, that he had already buddied up with that little boy. I don't know. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it, but the Word of God did say he knew what he would do. That's what the Word of God said. And so Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, there's a lad here. What's Jesus see? He sees hands that were prepared. In other words, that little boy's hands, watch this now, he brought a supply. He brought something just in case he was out there all day. The Bible talks in the book of Proverbs about the ant, that it works all summer preparing for the winter. Amen. I believe God's people ought to look, take a little example after that, and we ought to prepare a little. We ought to lay back a little. Say amen. We ought to, if something happens, we ought to have as much as we can, a little bit preparation for that. Amen. So Jesus sees these hands. Among all those hands, there's two that were prepared. That little boy brought a little lunch. His mama has a lot to do with that, don't you think? Here, son, amen, take this with you. Now watch this. Not only were the lad's hands prepared with the supply, but now this speaks to our heart tonight, it should. His hands were prepared to surrender. They were prepared to give it right over to God. The Bible doesn't say he argued. The Bible doesn't say he said, now this is for me, Jesus. I tell you what I believe. I believe that boy, Jesus knew what he would do. And I believe that boy couldn't wait to see what Jesus was going to do. Boy, what if we had that attitude? God, I'll give you my life, and I just can't wait to see what you're going to do with my life. How many knows what I'm talking about? We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to him. We just surrender to him. Say, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do. And by the way, I'll just say this concerning myself. It ain't much, Lord. Lord, whatever you want to do with it, it's yours. Amen. It's yours. It's yours. So we see hands that were prepared. We see the Lord's hands. But let me give you this. We saw the lad's hands. Now we see the Lord's hands. What's his hands prepared to do? They're prepared to satisfy. You know, tonight, listen, not just people that don't know Jesus. There's a whole lot of people that do know Jesus that aren't satisfied in this world. Did you hear what I said? They're not satisfied. They're not satisfied because they're not surrendered. When that little boy surrendered that lunch, how many believes he got a whole lot more than he surrendered? I believe every time a child of God gives that to Jesus and surrenders, they get a whole lot more than what they surrender. You see, the Lord's hands prepared to satisfy. I want to give you this tonight. I believe the Lord, that's what life abundantly is all about. Someone said years ago, a man's not rich in respect to what he has. A man is rich in respect of what he wants. And if you don't want anything, you're a whole lot better off than somebody that's got $10 million and wants another million. Amen. I was out soul winning one time talking to a man, and I said, I'm working on my second million. His eyes got that big around. I said, I give up on the first one a long time ago. Amen. He got it then. Amen. I believe tonight the Lord's hands are prepared to satisfy. We see the hunger. He sees the hunger among the people. He sees the helplessness of his disciples. He sees hands that are prepared. But let me give you this, and I'm done tonight. He sees the harvest. He sees the big picture. Look at verse number 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? I don't believe there's any coincidence. Turn with me to John chapter 4. Coulter, I believe this is the text you preached out of the last time you preached here on Wednesday night. In John chapter 6 and verse number 5, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he saw a great company come unto him. Another chapter tells us, another book tells us he was moved with compassion. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't believe it was their bellies that moved him. I believe it was their hearts. I don't believe it was the need about their hunger. I believe it was the need of their heart. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Look at chapter number 4. You remember this? In verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me
and to finish his work. He said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. How many believe it was an impossibility for Jesus when he looked up and saw that multitude coming? I believe it was an impossibility for him not to see the harvest, to see the souls of men. He wasn't just looking at their physical need, but he was looking at their spiritual need. Beloved, Jesus knew it wasn't time to overthrow Rome, but it was time to head on towards Calvary and win the victory over death, hell, and the grave. Thank God tonight for Calvary. Look at Luke chapter 9 with me for just a moment, and I'm done. Luke chapter 9, verse number 11 and 12. Luke chapter 9, verse number 11 and 12. The Bible said, and the people, when they knew it, they followed him, and he received them, and he spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12, and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and countries round about, and lodge, and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. Let me ask you a question. As a child of God, do you ever feel like we're here in a desert place? Do you get a longing for home? This world's not our home. Let me just ask us tonight to do this. Let's not send the multitudes away. Let's introduce them to the one. How many got satisfied when you met Jesus? Amen. How many satisfied with his salvation? How many satisfied serving him tonight? Amen. That's a blessing. Let's not send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and the country round about. Jesus spoke of the kingdom to them. They wanted to set the kingdom up right now. And I tell you tonight, the Bible said, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. If Jesus were to come tonight, the opportunity for many is over. Many have heard the gospel, rejected the gospel, and that opportunity to be saved is gone. I challenge us tonight with the help of the good Lord. Let's not send the multitudes away. That's what the disciples said, because they thought that was the only way out. We can't do anything. But Andrew said, there's a little lad here. You know what God can do? He can take what little we give him and bless it and break it and satisfy thousands. Amen. I don't know what you put in a mission offering tonight, but it's going towards the gospel going around the world. And the gospel is the only thing that can satisfy. I'm just glad you come tonight. Appreciate you being here.